So you've run out of gas on the highway or a tire's gone flat. There are lots of things to do in a situation like that, and here's one of them. Hope that Walt Brinker is coming your way. Walt is a West Point grad, a Vietnam War vet, and a retired Army infantry lieutenant colonel who's provided more than 2,000 free roadside assists. It's his hobby, and he's written a book about this. It's Roadside Survival, Low-Tech Solutions to Automobile Breakdowns, and he joins us now from Iowa City, Iowa. And Walt, nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing, sir?
I'm well, thank you. And people never seem to think that a breakdown is going to happen to them, Walt. What do you say to them?
Well, I've done this more than 2,000 times, and I've seen that it does happen out there. And there's in this country, there's about 200 million drivers. Every year, AAA handles about 30 million calls for assistance. And I can tell you from my empirical evidence, from my experience out there, that's a very small percentage of the total number of people who break down. So it's not a matter of whether you're going to break down. It's a matter of when you're going to break down.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of whether you've prepared for it to reduce the chances of it. And if you do break down, what you have done to prepare to bail yourself out.
The most common problem, Walt, that you run across out there on the road is what?
The most common problem is tire failures.
Yeah.
Blowouts and loss of the tread or just a plain old flat tire. But 75% of people I have stopped for have had a tire issue of some kind.
I mean, one good idea that you recommend in this book is practice, you know, changing a tire before you have a problem with one of your tires. I'm betting that 99.5% of people never do it, and I got to admit I'm probably one of them. Why is that?
Well, because it's so much easier if you know that your tools work on your car. Because incredibly, people will swap out tools. They'll swap out spare tires. And spare tires are not generic. They don't fit all spare tires do not fit all vehicles. The nuts will be on too tight. But there are about 30 reasons why a tire cannot be changed easily when a flat tire occurs. But if you've planned for it, if you've gone out there and practiced once or twice, you've identified the shortfalls you've got, and hopefully you've got them fixed, and there won't be a problem next time.
The hardest part of changing a tire, Walt, is what?
The hardest part of changing it, well, there's different things. There's probably the most dangerous thing is to jack the car up so that it remains stable while it's being jacked up and does not roll off the jack.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the first things that I always ask people when I arrive on a scene is your emergency brake on? And is your car in park? Or is it in gear with the parking brake on? Because I can't tell you how many times I've arrived on a scene and the car has not had the brake on and it's rolled off the jack and the vehicle's wheel is sitting in the mud and the tire is off the car. And so we go from there.
And the whole idea of changing a tire in the dark, Walt, that can be pretty challenging too, can it?
It can be, but if you have the right gear, and that's what the book basically is about, preventing breaking down. And if you do break down, having the right stuff on board with you, not in your garage, but with you in your car, to facilitate your ability to deal with it. Changing a tire at night can be very challenging. I found that there are several things. Number one, the risk of getting hit by another car is higher at night, and so I advocate putting out warning triangles behind your car, 10 feet, 100 feet, and 200 feet intervals behind your car, in the lane where the car is, whether it's hopefully it's on a shoulder someplace, and then putting a reflecting vest on, and then having your car, of course, off the road far enough where you're not even close to the drive lane, but then use a headlamp. That's like a mini flashlight that fits around an elastic band on your forehead,
right?
Where it shines exactly where you want to do business,
right?
You know, and that makes it so much easier.
Well, so give us a checklist of the stuff you think people should be stowing away in their trunks just in case something bad happens out there.
Well, the most fundamental thing is to be sure that the tools that came with the car when it was new are the tools that are on your car. You know, because people swap tools out or they lend people tools and don't get them back. And so be sure that the stuff that came with your car is in your car. Things that most folks don't think about is what I also advocate, such as the biggest reason a lot of folks don't want to change a tire is they don't want to get dirty. And so I don't either. And so, you know, I advocate bringing an old beach towel. I can't tell you how many times I have had to lay a beach towel out to get under an axle, especially a rear axle, to put a jack under a car, and I did not get dirty doing it. A cheap, thin tarp, because you can't always pick a dry day to have a breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I've changed tires in the muckiest, muddiest sludge you've ever seen, and stayed bone dry.
Yeah.
Leather gloves, because when a tire blows, it exposes all kinds of metal shards that are used in the construction of the tire. Leather gloves will prevent your hands from being slashed up by those metal pieces.
Yeah.
A tire pressure gauge, and a compressor. The single biggest reason tires blow is under inflation. Well, if you can spot a tire that's underinflated, or check the tire with the pressure gauge and identify it up front, that's even better. But you can tune the tires up in terms of their pressure with a 12-volt air compressor you carry on board.
Yeah. You know, you aren't a highway patrol officer, obviously. You're not a police officer. So what do people think when you pull up, Walt, and you offer to help? I mean, are they suspicious?
Initially, sometimes they are, but I always pull over in front of a person. So I, number one, get a good look at what I'm about to get involved with, so I don't get taken advantage of. And then I pull in front, give myself plenty of room to slow down and stop safely without hitting anybody. And then I back up slowly all the time, looking in my mirror to make sure I'm not walking into something I don't want to be into. And I get out of the car, and I walk back with my good guy face on, and I say, my line is, what do you need? That gets right to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And usually people will sometimes they'll say, well, I have AAA on the way. And I said, well, how long have you been here? They'll say, well, maybe an hour. I say, I can see they got a flat tire. And I say, well, I can change that tire for you in 15 minutes. Would you want to do that? And usually they'll say yes, and then we go ahead and do it.
Even though they don't know who you are?
Well, yeah, I guess maybe it's, I'm not a scary guy. And I just try to be Mr. Nice Guy and come up there and offer them help. They almost can't refuse. And so I talk to them in a way that I think inspires confidence, and it works.
Well, what got you started in helping folks out who are stuck on the highways of our country? What got you going on that?
It all began with a single jump start I gave somebody way back 30 years ago or so. It was about Christmas time, and I remember a woman that had the hood in her car raised, and so I went over, and all she needed was a jump. It was her battery had gone dead, and she needed to have her engine jump started. So I did that with my jumper cables, and two things struck me right there. One was how relieved she was of being back on the road and being back mobile again.
Sure.
The second thing was how good I felt having done that. And so I said, wow, that was really slick. I need to do this more often. And so I began looking for cars that were in distress, quote unquote. And I realized that many reasons for a car being in distress were besides needing a jump. And so over time, largely through trial and error, I began acquiring the skills and the items to do this with.
How often do you come across people who have run out of gas, Walt?
I would say about 10% of the people I stop for, not quite 10%, are out of gas. I mean, it's something that it's totally preventable if you're thinking.
Yeah.
But a lot of folks want to get another couple miles out of that tank of gas. They want to get to a lower price gas station, or they forget about it, or their gas gauge is broken. I've heard all the excuses, but it's something that is so easily preventable if you're thinking ahead. But some folks get preoccupied and just forget about it, and boom, they run out of gas.
You talk about this technique in the book called rock the car to get an out-of-gas vehicle going again. I'd never heard of that. What is it?
Well, typically when a car runs out of gas, it'll be it'll be level, like on an interstate. The car stops running, and so the motorist pulls off on the shoulder, which typically is tilted a bit to the right. It's canted a bit to the right, and so if they're on the right shoulder, otherwise on the left shoulder. But on the right shoulder, and you add a gallon of gas to the tank, and the car still won't. Sometimes it still won't start. Sometimes it will start, but about maybe a third of the time it will not start, just without doing anything else to it. And so what I do is I open the passenger door, and I stand on the floorboard with one hand on the roof and one hand on the passenger door, and I'll jump up and down so the whole car is rocking back and forth. But also the gas in the tank is sloshing around, and it finds the intake to the engine.
Ah.
And the car starts. Magic. I mean,
and that solves the problem.
Exactly.
People are going to think you're trying to break their car, Walt.
Well, you know, I discovered that new car dealerships, in fact, have much the same thing. You know, they're not going to park a bunch of new cars out on the parking lot and let them be exposed to being driven off. And so they purposely have very little gas in them, so they can just rock the car a little bit or tap it or bounce on down on the quarter panel, and it'll start up.
Well, Walt Brinker is the author of its Roadside Survival, Low-Tech Solutions to Automobile Breakdowns. And, Walt, thank you for taking a few minutes. I appreciate it. I think you helped some people out today.
Well, I hope so. They can find out more about it on my website, roadsidesurvival.com.
All right, Walt. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.